We're proposing to make sure that research is properly funded in this country, and that's what we've said with our announcements.
Opposition leader Bill Shorten is pushing Labor's new innovation policy, announcing an inaugural roundtable of the Innovation Investment Partnership to be held on November 12, as well as a plan to boost the number of young Australians taking up so-called STEM courses at university and upskill 25,000 teachers. Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull is also keen to keep the momentum for change in technology and innovation, hosting his own roundtable in Canberra last week. The University of Technology Sydney have addressed the urgent need for Australia to play global economic catch-up by supporting creative and innovation industries in their new publication on creative industries in Australia. Roderick Chambers was at the launch and spoke to UTS Provost Vice-Chancellor Peter Booth about the focus on the education sector to step up and produce graduates who are ready to put ideas into action and produce more startup enterprises.
Now that we have a new Prime Minister, we're getting all this new impetus for science, technology, innovation. Are we ready for all this?
That's a good question, I think, and I think you can answer both yes and no. It's really very positive to hear Malcolm talking about the things he is. I mean, it's not surprising given his background, but, you know, when you're in a role, it's a different thing to carry your personal interests through. But I think he quite rightly identifies that the long-term future of Australia, we have to be stronger in that space than we are. And we certainly have the capabilities. So when I said it's yes and no, I meant yes, we have all the right building blocks in this country. We certainly have the people, talent and other things to be really strong in it. But no, we're really probably not leveraging it in a focused way.
Because I know there was some recent research which said that a lot of the people studying in universities now were studying for areas of expertise which won't exist.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, the traditional professional jobs, there is a range of research and you can always take it with a grain of salt, of course. But in terms of the specific job categories, that there are many of those job categories which could disappear in the next decade through robotics or just changes or automations of various things. That doesn't mean that those people aren't trained to do other jobs, of course, but we really do need to put much more focus on imagining new jobs, I think, new areas of employment, and make sure that people have the flexibility skills to move to those new areas. For example, one of the things we think, you know, that education doesn't necessarily prepare you for is failure. That is being willing to fail. Because, you know, as in new areas and as things, you've got to be actually be willing to fail and learn from them. It's a bit scary for some people.
Yeah, I mean, in Australia, in the business environment, we're probably less well equipped in that area because we're often the branch office. We're often the end of the other end of the world.
Yes.
And so it's a matter of making sure that all the boxes are ticked and all the areas are covered rather than looking for that next big thing.
Yes, I mean, I think that's true. In a sense, there is a bit of a organisational cultural thing in Australia, probably getting weaker, about not willing to go for something until it's certain of success.
Yeah.
And, you know, most good ideas fail. Not because they're bad ideas, but simply because you know, that they just things go wrong or someone else has a slightly better idea and your idea isn't quite good enough.
Well, it's not the right time for
it. It's not the right time for it.
The timing can be everything.
And if you look at some of the successful people in Australia that people look up to, Gerry Harvey and others like that, you know, they've failed many times if you dig back through their career. They haven't been universally successful.
And I noticed here at UTS, we've got these centres for various areas of study. That's obviously a strategy that UTS is using. Is that something that came out of some other universities, or how has that come about?
Partly out of looking at what others are doing. Yes, I mean, you've got to be open to others' ideas. You can't be precious and think you've got all the good ideas, and certainly that's our model, that you look at what others are doing, try and learn from it, but also internally driven by our focus and our strategy, what the university wants to be as a university of technology, what that means to be an innovative university and a forward-thinking university. So, and the other thing is also...
Headland areas of innovation that sort of bring the rest of the university behind it? Is that kind of the idea? Or?
Partly that, and also partly little experiments. They can fail, and it doesn't matter so much. Mason can see it, and when they succeed, we learn from them and work out what to do. So, I mean, we're trying to be flexible and agile as well. Little things like that you can add without disturbing the main game. You know, so you can add a little experiment or a little, you know, internal startup, some people call them. Just see how it goes.
And is there one area that you can pick out at the moment which is a good example of it working quite well?
Well, I think, you know, that it was rather a large gamble, the Bachelor of Creative Intelligence and Innovation. You know, we did that. It was a startup idea. We did much less market research and other things than we would normally do in starting a new degree, because we did some work with industry, but it was an unknown. I mean, it was one of those things where would you ask X if they want to consume this, because they don't even know what X is. So what's the point of asking the market, you know? Yeah, so we took an interesting approach to that with our people. Firstly, we tried, rather than selling what it will do, which would be hard to describe, we tried to sell what it would deliver. You know, what would you be if you went through this experience? What would the experience be like? Because we could sort of describe that. And it's been a roaring success. I mean, a much huger success than I would have imagined. But it could equally have been a fizzer, or it could have been just a solid little program, you know. And it was designed to be a solid little program. I mean, I could triple the size of it tomorrow if I knew how to get the staff to teach it.
Now, have you had a chance to talk to the new education minister?
No, I haven't personally yet.
Well, if you did,
yeah.
What would be the first thing you'd say that we needed for higher education?
Well, I think some policy certainty would be the first thing I'd say. We need to actually give the sector 5 to 10 year type horizons of policy certainty so we can plan and thrive. One of the problems currently is, you know, every 2 or 3 years we get a policy change, and it just creates churn. It doesn't create forward going. So I'd say to him, let's sit down and work out a sustainable policy initiative that, you know, governments can commit to, and that allow people to thrive and innovate.
Professor Peter Booth, Provost and Senior Vice President at the University of Technology Sydney, speaking with Roderick Chambers.